And now Andrew Ponson is taking full advantage of his new position at Oxford University to meet some of their space scientists and get to grips with their work. This month, he spoke to cosmologist Dr. Joe Dunkley.
On this podcast, we've spoken a lot before about the cosmic microwave background, how it can tell us about the Big Bang. But one of the things you're studying is the polarization of the cosmic microwave background. So what is polarization and why do we want to study it in the cosmic microwave background?
That's a good question. So the cosmic microwave background, or we often call it the CMB because it's easier and shorter, as you know, comes from the Big Bang and it's travelling as a wave through space. It's been travelling for 14 billion years. And you can imagine it as a wave rippling through space. But all light waves ripple in two different directions. Sort of, you can think of it as vertically and horizontally, two different directions of waves. And by measuring the polarisation, we see if there are the waves are different in the two different directions that they can vibrate in or oscillate in. It allows us to see back to the Big Bang in a way that you can't if you just look at the temperature of the light rather than its polarisation. You have lots of little galaxies in between us and the light we're looking at that also send out microwave light, but they're not polarised or not very polarised. And so if we can look at the polarisation, we get to kind of look straight through those and they don't get in our way. So that's one nice thing, is it allows us to see back to the Big Bang better. But the other reason is that by measuring the polarisation, it allows us to look at how the light has travelled on its journey to us from the Big Bang. And the light is travelling through the universe in which there are giant cosmic structures. So galaxies, big clusters of galaxies, and you know the dark matter web of structure that fills up the universe. And this light from the Big Bang is getting very, very slightly bent by those structures. The gravity is bending that light. And by measuring the bending of the light, which we can do by looking at its polarisation, we can trace out how and when big structure, cosmic structures formed in the universe. And that's called gravitational lensing. We've just managed to see it just in the last year with a telescope called ACT. And so far we've seen it's there as we expected, and it's given us a new view of what's in the universe. But we're hoping that by measuring that, we'll be able to figure out what is filling up the universe, which at the moment, a lot of that's completely unknown.
Now, you're involved with lots of different missions. One of them is the Planck mission that's measuring the microwave background from space. But you're also working on this ACT telescope, the Atacama Cosmology Telescope, and its successor, ACTPOL. So given that you've got an observatory up in space, which is presumably the best place to measure, why do you also want to build observatories like ACT and ACTPOL on the ground?
Obviously, it's great being in space because you get to get out of the atmosphere and be able to look cleanly at the sky. But actually, the ground-based observatories do pretty well. So their ACT and ACTPOL are both in Chile. It's the highest telescope in the world, up at above 5,000 metres. So it's extremely high up in the air where things are high and dry and you can actually see out very clearly out into space. Of course, if you can afford to go to space, and when we have the Planck satellite that's in space, that's fantastic. But there is a limit to the detail that Planck can see. So Planck can measure the CMB, but only because it's an instrument flying that had to go up, you know, be shot out into space. It's got a limited size. It can't be that big. So the ACT telescope is much, much bigger. And so it can look at the CMB in much greater detail than Planck can. Certainly in terms of its ability to measure polarisation, it can do that in a way that Planck cannot. So it's complementary to Planck.
So taking the future results from Planck and from ACTPOL together, what would your dream scenario be? What could be the best thing that could come out from these polarisation measurements?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One is that we would be able to measure a particular signal that could tell us that something called inflation happened in the early universe. Now, that's what we think is a very rapid expansion of the universe in the first trillionth of a second. And there's a particular signature that we could see from ACTPOL and Planck combined that could say, right, that's what happened. This is what happened in the very first moments. There's a couple of pretty exciting other things we could perhaps see. We might be able to measure how massive the neutrino is. So the neutrino is a very small particle that's had a lot of press recently because there was some indication that perhaps it was travelling faster than the speed of light. This was an experiment happening in Switzerland. We also see these things out in space, and we can use, if we can work out how giant cosmic structures behave and evolve, we can hope to perhaps measure the mass of this particle, which is something that's quite mysterious to us in the moment. We might also try and get some clue as to the nature of dark energy. So dark energy takes up about 75% of the universe. It's a complete unknown. It's making our universe accelerate, its expansion accelerate faster and faster. And we have no idea what it is. And by measuring how light from the Big Bang gets bent by giant cosmic structures, we can try and work out what that dark energy is. If we could get a clue as to what that is, that would be, you know, my sort of perfect scenario of what we might find out.
Joe Dunkley speaking with Andrew Pompson.